Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Thank you. Amen. We're so blessed to have wonderful music this morning as our prelude to worship this morning. Welcome to our church. This is a wonderful day to celebrate our mothers, so we're grateful. If this is a celebration of you this day, we want to extend a happy Mother's Day to you if you're gathered here this morning. And I want to share with you just a couple of announcements as we begin our service today. My name is Reverend John Reynolds. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to share with you that we're a church that's striving to help people know God, love God, and serve God. And if this is your first Sunday with us, we're so glad that you decided to make this your spiritual home this morning. And if you've been with us for a long time, we're grateful to have you here as well. Hopefully, on your way in the door, you were handed a bulletin, and inside that bulletin is a connection card. I want to encourage you to just take a moment and look through the bulletin. There's all kinds of great ministries that are coming up in the life of the church, and that connection card on the back of it gives you an opportunity to sign up for some of those ministries if you're interested in getting involved in them. We would love to have you just check one of those boxes on the back of the connection card. On the front side is an opportunity for you to sign in. Let us know that you're here this morning, and we will be grateful to receive those in the offering plates later as they pass by in the pews. Just let us know that you're here. That would be a tremendous gift to us. In the pew back in front of you, there are yellow prayer cards. We would be honored to be praying alongside you or for you or maybe for somebody else that you might know in your life that may be struggling. And we would be honored if you would fill those out. And you can also put them in the offering plate when it goes by later on in the service. I wanted to let you know about a couple of things going on here in the life of our church. On the fourth Thursday every month at 6 p.m. down at our Whitmore Lake campus, we have a game night. You can bring any game you want, anything from Yahtzee, right? Like comparatively easy to play, accessible, anybody can roll dice, all the way up to like Settlers of Catan and strategy games like, you know, that you can play as well. My kids, we actually like playing a game called The Floor is Lava, which is sort of like a mix of several different kinds of games, but very simple to play. And it's really fun to watch a 5-year-old play with an 80-year-old. You know, it's like, it's pretty special. So join us for that. And it's the fourth Thursday at 6 p.m. There's a rummage sale. We're going to begin collecting things. May 30th is the first day to drop things off. You may be doing this thing called spring cleaning inside your house, and you may have discovered a couple of things that you can part with. This is the way that Pastor John and Pastor Lindsay keep our parsonage clean. Every once in a while, we have this rule that if one thing comes in, two things go out. It's a wonderful thing. So if you've got a box of stuff you'd like to donate, all of the proceeds of the sales from this rummage sale go to missions. And that's one of the great reasons why this is worthwhile to support. We encourage you to start dropping your things off on May 30th. There's a picnic on June 11th, so there won't be an 11 o'clock service here at the Brighton campus. We'll be having an outdoor service by the lake on June 11th, so we hope that you'll join us for that. We encourage you to stand as you're able and join us in our opening hymn. It's song 111 in the hymnal, How Can We Name a Love? We invite you to stand and sing unto the Lord.
Dwelling on me now. Happy Mother's Day. Please join me in the opening prayer. Mothering God, we pray that you will bless mothers of all kinds today. Bless our mothers who bore us. Bless our mothers who raised us. Bless our mothers who adopted us. Bless our mothers who appeared when no one else cared. We lift these people up to you who have cared for us deeply, and we entrust them to your care. Amen. Please be seated.
Wow, I got to tell you, that took me back. Wizard of Oz. That's awesome. Josh and Lucy, great job. Scripture reading this morning is from Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who went ahead of us to create a way for us to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're starting a new sermon series this week, and hopefully on your way in the door, you were handed something that you might have looked at and you just think, like, what in the world am I going to do with this? So there's a flat Jesus that hopefully you were handed by the ushers as you came in the door, and what we're hoping for is this is the time of year that we sort of transition right into the incredible rat race of spring, where things are busy and filled with, you know, maybe garden cleanups and house spring cleanings and all that, you know, to transitioning into a time where maybe there's some time and space for recreation, for getting together with family. Maybe some of you have some traveling plans through the course of the summer. So this is our encouragement to everybody, is to find some way of making memories through the course of this summertime. Maybe it's with your friends. Maybe it's with your family. Maybe there are trips to the golf course. Maybe there are trips to, you know, some other parts of the country or around the world. And we want you, if you can, to take a moment to make a sort of color rendition of Flat Jesus. You can color him in if you want. You can have kids or grandkids color Flat Jesus in, and take Flat Jesus with you somewhere you go to create a moment to remember wherever it might be that you're headed out to this summer, and then email the photographs, because at some point when you're together with your family, we encourage you to take Flat Jesus with you and take a photograph, and you can email it to the church office, because we hope that you make memories throughout the course of the summer that help define your faith, that help you see your relationship with God in new places outside of the walls of the sanctuary, because we know that folks travel in the midst of this summer season, and so we hope that some moment you sort of take a mental snapshot and you think, oh, God is here. The veil between heaven and earth is extremely thin in this particular moment. We hope that you take a photograph with Flat Jesus. Maybe it could be within the comfort of your own home. It could be in your backyard. It could be literally anywhere that you just feel like, you know what? This is a moment that I'm sensing God's presence, and I can feel God in my midst. And so the sermon series over the next 4 weeks are about the moments that we remember, the moments that we hold on to, the moments that were significant in our life of faith, and the moments that sort of defined us as the people of God that we are. And so you're going to hear testimonies and stories over the next couple of weeks about some of those foundational moments in the faith and where they come from in the scriptures. And so this morning, I read this story, Bob read a story out of Hebrews, this brief passage about showing hospitality to strangers. In some translation in the scriptures say, because you never know when you're entertaining angels unaware. And I've found in my life that that's been true. Every once in a while, when you open up your own space, maybe it's your home or your campsite, or maybe it's just you sort of hold court in a college dormitory and you meet somebody new, and all of a sudden you realize that while you are hosting another person in some way that sort of passes our understanding, you're also playing host to God, God's self. You've sort of welcomed somebody into your space, but in the midst of the conversation, you go, whoa, I'm really glad that I decided to answer the door. I decided to welcome you in, because in that moment, I found that I encountered God, whereas most of us, we're so busy, our calendars are so full, we have so much on our agenda, that oftentimes when somebody knocks on our door, we find ourselves just going like, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I've got something on the calendar, I'm going to close the door, and we miss out on an opportunity to entertain angels in our midst. This story from Hebrews is actually sort of pointing back to a story that took place in Genesis. If you remember in Genesis, there's this guy named Abraham. He and his wife Sarah have been trying to have a kid for years, and they were unsuccessful in their attempt to have a kid. And so all of a sudden, a whole bunch of outsiders come to Abraham and Sarah, and they're like, can we have a meeting with you? We'd love to just sit down and talk for a moment. This happens in Genesis 18. And Abraham says, sure, let me like create a space for you. I'd love to welcome you into my space. And so sure enough, these strangers sit down and they're like, hey, by the way, you and Sarah are going to have a child. And Abraham, instead of referring to them as strangers, because they were, he says, you know, we've entertained actually God's self in the form of angels who have brought us a message that we're going to have a child. And you know what Sarah does? She's like, she's sitting over in the tent over somewhere else baking bread because that's what Abraham told her to do. She laughs. And the response of these folks is like, why are you laughing? And Sarah's like, well, you know, I'm like in my late 80s or something, and you are expecting me to have a baby at this point. There's no way that's going to happen. And they say, you just wait. Don't put God to the test. And that's what this reference to Hebrews sort of harkens back to, the story in Genesis where the angels visit and they say to Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. You don't think you're going to, but you are. And sure enough, they have a child together. And I found myself thinking about these moments in my life that somebody has extended radical hospitality to me. They've welcomed me into their space. And if you think about incredible moments in your life when you've been welcomed into a space, and maybe you shouldn't have been. Maybe there was no reason for somebody to take you in at that particular moment, but they did for whatever sets of reasons. And I was thinking about a couple of moments. Growing up, I have these memories, these incredible memories of my good friends, the Spiros, who would welcome me over to their space. They had a cottage on the lake, and some of my fondest memories as a kid growing up were going over to the Spiros' house, where they would get out the jet ski and the boat, and they would tow us around the lake. I mean, we thought that we were just the coolest kids in the entire world because we were on the back of the inner tube going in what we called the toilet bowl over and over and over again. And I remember that we just had the greatest time being carefree. We were in middle school at the time. I would come home and like nearly from here to like my midsection was completely covered in like, you know, rug burns is what I called them, from being on the inner tube from like sun up to sundown. I probably owe the Spiros like gas money for the amount of time that they spent out on the lake towing us around the lake. But nearly every opportunity that I got, I loved going over to their house, and they just showed the most radical hospitality by welcoming me in and taking me out on the boat to just have some of the most carefree, you know, you didn't worry about any of the homework or any of the other stuff that you had to do, any of the responsibilities. It was just absolutely carefree, welcoming somebody into their space. And I remember a couple years later when I was in college, Albion First United Methodist Church, if those of you who are preparing to pay for college or have kids that are preparing for, you know, their children to go to school at college, you know that room and board can be amongst one of the largest things that you pay for in college. And Albion First United Methodist Church had an apartment up above the church space that they would rent out to college students to reduce the cost of going to school. And I remember applying to be one of the two people that would be like honorary door openers on Sunday morning. So the only catch was that you had to wake up before church started on Sunday morning to open up the church so that folks could come in. But as a result of that, instead of paying, you know, exorbitant amounts for room and board, you only had to pay a couple $100s throughout the course of the entire summer to live there. And I remember feeling like, wow, what an amazing place to live, until I discovered that the roof, the attic was like infested with bats, you know, like, and so in the middle of the night, like, you would wake up and you'd see just like bats flying around the church, which was not only unsightly, but incredibly terrifying, right, to have that experience in the middle of the night. But I remember just feeling incredibly grateful for this opportunity to live at Albion over the course of the summer, working at the White House Nature Center, but that they would open up their church for a college student to be able to stay there over the course of the summer and work and not have to pay an exorbitant amount of room and board and rental costs and all of that. Do you remember a time in your life that you've been welcomed into a space that maybe you didn't feel like you belonged? Maybe there was a time that somebody welcomed you in or helped you when you were in a place of need. Maybe there was a time that somebody invited you over as a friend and maybe you didn't know each other. You were just acquaintances at the time, but they welcomed you into your space. Maybe it was a time that you moved into a new neighborhood and you didn't know anybody on the street. You didn't know anybody in the community, and somebody said, well, you know, maybe you should come over for dinner. Maybe you should come over for drinks. Maybe you should come over and meet me. And all of a sudden, that relationship took off and became a lifelong friendship that you continue to hold on to this day. I think life is filled with opportunities. They say that in the average day, most of us interact with somewhere between 5 and 10 strangers every single day. And you never know when those strangers can become lifelong friends. In fact, I think that's part of the journey in faith. I've told this story before, but I love telling it. One of the greatest acts of welcome and hospitality I've ever experienced in my life, one of the moments that I hold on to, is the fact that my junior year in high school, I decided that I wasn't going to play football anymore, and I was going to go out for cross country, and that was partially because I was terrified of playing football. I played quarterback, which meant I spent most of my life running from people who were much larger and stronger than I was. That's what I remember about playing football. But needless to say, I decided I was gonna transition out of playing football into running cross country. And this guy on my cross country team said, "You know, John, I go to church on Sunday mornings and I go to youth group on Wednesday nights. Would you be interested in coming with me?" And it's funny because I decided to say yes. And so the next Wednesday, I show up at the youth group, and I look around and I'm like, I go up to the youth pastor. It was a fairly large youth ministry. You know, there were like maybe 60, 80 kids that were involved in the youth ministry program. And I walked into the church for the very first time in years, because I actually had told my parents when I was like 5 years old that I never wanted to go to church again because I wore glasses, and the kids in the Sunday school, they made fun of me. It was just like this outrageously terrible experience. And so I came home one day, and my parents remind me of this from time to time. And I said to my mom and dad, "Mom, Dad, this is a rough thing, a rough story to tell on Mother's Day, but I was like, I never want to go to church ever again in my life," because it was rough. So fast forward 10 years, this guy on my cross-country team invites me to go to youth group, and I'm like, sure, why not? I'd love to go. I'm interested in church. I was curious at the time. And so I show up on a Wednesday night, and I'm looking around for my friend anywhere, right? Like, where is this guy who invited me to come to church with him? And sure enough, he wasn't there, not at all. Not even that particular Wednesday, he didn't show up the entire evening. And so the next day at cross-country practice, I go up to this guy, and I say, like, "Zach, did you go to youth group last night? I showed up, you weren't there." And I have to say, the church was incredibly welcoming. They were kind. They were like, "We're so glad that you're here. I'm sorry that your friend didn't show up who invited you, but I'm really glad they invited you, and we're glad you're here." And so I said, "Did you show up?" And he said, like, "No, I'm sorry, I'll be there next week." And so the next week I show up, and Zach is nowhere to be found. Again, I felt like, you know, one of those like bad dating stories, you know, where you just get stood up again and again and again. So I actually continued to go all through the fall to this youth group because it was really fun and enjoyable. And the youth pastor was really kind to me. He was welcoming. And he said, "You should take confirmation. You should get involved in the church. You can come to this class on Sunday nights." And so sure enough, the church itself just welcomed me into the space, and I probably wouldn't be a pastor today if it wasn't for these incredibly kind adults who created space for me in my life, who welcomed me into the church, who told me I should keep coming back. And I'm here to tell you, like, not once did my friend actually show up to church on Wednesday night. Not a single time, never once, this guy who invited me to come to church. And yet, I continued to go every Wednesday night, and then I got involved to go on Sunday nights, and that was part of my call to ministry, is the fact that I probably would never have ended up attending church had this guy not randomly invited me to come to youth group. I believe he's a real person. I do. But there's a part of me that's wondered, you know, like, maybe that was my Hebrews moment. That maybe in some way, like, we're called, right, to show hospitality to strangers, because you never know when you're entertaining angels unaware. Maybe in a certain respect, Zach was an angel that sort of crossed paths with my life and just for a moment, right, like, welcomed me back into the faith. And if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be here. But this moment when I felt like maybe God was nudging me by this person who was borderline a figment of my imagination, because he never showed up. And yet this youth pastor who actually was there and like I shook his hand. I believe he's real, you know, like continued to welcome me into the ministry of the church. I don't know what your afternoon plans look like. I hope that some of you are able to get together with family and friends, or maybe you're able to make a phone call to the people that matter to you most. Maybe you're able to reach out to your kids and just connect with them, but maybe your life will involve, you know, a trip to the store sometime this week. And I imagine that in the midst of that, one of the things that we're called to do as people of faith is to go out into the world and show hospitality to these folks in our midst who we might not have any other reason to talk to other than for that exact moment our paths cross. And I find myself thinking that really is how we build relationships and transform each other's lives, is oftentimes it starts with just some random crossing where all of a sudden we build a connection and our lives are never the same because we met somebody while we were entertaining angels unaware. Most of you all know, who are from Michigan, that our neighbors to the north, right, the Canadians, are incredibly kind and gracious and welcoming folks. And I'll never forget, I was swimming one day in Lake Superior. It was freezing cold. And this guy, this kid, like, walked up to me and he said, like, where are you from? You know, and we were just camping as a family. We were out enjoying Lake Superior. And I was like, well, I'm from Michigan. And he's like, wow, you're brave to be swimming in this freezing cold water. And this kid was like 12 or 13 years old. And I said, like, nice to meet you. I'm John. And, you know, we started swimming together. And he goes, you got to come to my camper. And so sure enough, like, I get hauled, you know, into this kid's camper. I was like 20 years at the time, 20 years old. He's like, my family's Canadian. We welcome everybody. We just, you know. And so I walk into this kid's camper, and I didn't know any better at the time. And he's like, you got to meet my mom and dad. And so sure enough, I walk up and I meet his mom and dad. And I'm like, I don't know, we just met, we were swimming. Like, I hope this isn't weird. And they're like, well, you should stay for dinner, you know. And like, it was just this, I have to go back to my parents' campsite. I don't know about you, but some of the greatest moments that I've had in my faith came about from the most unexpected places. And I don't know if there are folks in your life, in your sphere of influence, that maybe God's calling you to slide over and to meet, to build a relationship, to build a connection with. But I believe with all of my heart that every once in a while, God places you in a particular time, in a particular place, so that your life will never be the same because you meet somebody, because you interact with somebody that changes your life forever. So some of my moments to remember as you go out into the world, as you travel maybe around the globe, as you make memories, as you create time and space, is I hope that you meet somebody that you never expected to encounter, and I hope that it's more than just a random interaction. I hope that you're able to build a relationship with the folks that you encounter. I hope that in the midst of it all, you find that God is actually present with you in unexpected ways. Because you never know when those random encounters lead to lifelong friendships that transform your life and make it better. And I hope that as you go places, you'll take flat Jesus with you as a reminder that every once in a while you're entertaining angels unaware. That every once in a while God visits you in the form of people that you just cross paths with. So do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Be more like our Canadian friends who, with reckless abandon and courage and strength, that like I don't think I had at 13. I was like afraid to talk to any adults, let alone like, you know, start inviting them to my campsite and like trying to build lifelong friendships. I'm not sure if there's enough people up there, you know, like nevertheless, I hope that you open up your spaces like Albion First United Methodist Church that saw an opportunity to say, like, we could welcome a college student into our space to open up the doors on Sunday mornings. Maybe some of you have homes that you can open up your space to. I think one of the coolest modern realities is Airbnb and places like, you know, that you can go and rent cottages and cabins. And one of the neatest things that I've seen in those spaces is there are guest books, right? that are filled with the names and the stories of people who use those cabins to create lifelong memories, to create experiences with family that people hold on to the moment that they take their last breath. And I hope that for those of you who have spaces, that you can open them up to strangers, to welcome them in, because you never know when you might be entertaining angels unaware. As you go out into the world this summer, I pray that you will create moments to remember, that you will create transforming relationships. Thanks be to God for unexpected moments that create lifelong memories. And amen. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we're grateful for unexpected moments in our life that create lifelong memories. We pray that as we go out into the world, we would be able to find the sacredness in the midst of mundane, everyday life experiences. We pray for one another as we gather this day, as we celebrate the moms in our life, as we celebrate people who mothered us, as we celebrate people who slid over and occupied spaces in our life of nurturing, loving relationships. We give you thanks for the ways in which you create spaces in our life to experience you in the form of angels, in the form of strangers. Thank you for creating moments to remember in our lives that shape us and form us in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Lily. Having the Zhao family join us has really been one of God's blessings. And I really admire people who can play the piano. I can, like, one finger, but my left hand has absolutely no idea what to do. So I really respect people that can play. The prayer quotes today are for Elena and Bill. As you leave the sanctuary, you're invited to tie a knot, and that represents your prayer for that person, and to sign the cards. I like to give each knot a little love pat, too, just for a little something extra. Now please rest into your own attitude of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Elena and Bill. We pray that they will feel your grace and our prayers for them as their quilt is wrapped around them. Let them know that they are not alone, that you are there, and that we are praying for them. Lord, help us to see others, to see every person as a brother or a sister. Help us put aside our prejudices, our expectations, so that we see every person as a child of God, as a person who has been created in your image, and as a person who, through his own free will, is on his own unique life journey. Oh, Lord, what a beautiful world we would have here on earth if only we could accept each other and figure out our differences across the dining room table instead of across the battlefield. Lord, we need your help right now with so many things, between what people are doing to each other and what nations are doing to other nations. We've lost our way. Help us find our way again, Lord. Yet, in spite of the darkness, there is still your light. We experience those angels among us, that young adult or child who has ideas and attitudes to improve the situation, to see it differently. That person who, with just a few kind words, lifts the heart of that one other person. That person whose smile makes us feel better. That person who can touch someone who is starving for a touch. Those people who offer food, clothing, healthcare, shelter, when they see the need. Those groups who see injustice and actually work to eliminate it. Those leaders who have compassion for their followers and strive to make sure that their followers are safe. Lord, let us be a person who is one of your angels on earth. Father God, please hear our silent prayers of pain and praise. You know our hearts, Lord. Hear us now as we, in this community of brothers and sisters, offer the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thanks so much, Liz, for leading us in prayer. As we come to this time in the service, we have an opportunity to respond to God's good work in our midst. And a couple of you, many of you maybe, were here a couple weeks ago on April 30th when we had a special Readers to Leaders Sunday morning. We had some presentations by folks from the Freedom School program, and then also heard a little bit more about the scholarships from Liberia. Well, during that service and after that service, we had a breakfast that was hosted by Susan and other volunteers, and I just want to share that another report, a celebration of the praise of the generosity of our church. At the breakfast, we collected over $1,700 for Readers to Leaders, and And in addition to that, there were, during the service in the offering, about $500 of gifts for Readers to Leaders. So that Sunday morning, we were able to collect an additional $2,200 for Readers to Leaders, which means another 7 full-year scholarships were funded for folks in Liberia. And the total amount collected across the Michigan Annual Conference is approaching very close to $200,000 now, which is really exciting for the state of Michigan. All the Methodist churches across the state of Michigan are collecting for Readers to Leaders as we go to annual conference in a couple of weeks here. So as the ushers come forward, I just want to say a big thank you, a celebration of the extravagant generosity of our church and all the different ways that we're making a difference in people's lives. I just spent a moment reading the stories of 25 of those kids who are going to be receiving the scholarships from Liberia. And so many of them, you know, are receiving scholarships, both parents working as hard as they possibly can. And so I just, on this Mother's Day, I'm so grateful to be able to make a difference in the lives of those kids in Flint and the kids in Liberia. I know that we're making a difference in Jesus' name. Will the ushers please assist us as we receive this morning's offering? Amen. Thank you.
Lord God, we bring our offerings to you each week, praying that they will make a difference in the world. Guide us in using these financial gifts to sustain and lift up your people in your earthly kingdom. Amen.
Amen, friends. I pray that God would be with you until next time we meet. As you go out into this afternoon, I pray that those of you that are headed to brunches would enjoy a time celebrating your moms. For those of you who are taking moms out to dinner, we encourage you to enjoy that time as well. For the dads who are cooking as a relief to the moms out in the world, we pray Godspeed with you as you provide meals and hospitality to your families. As you go out into the world, if you are celebrating this day alone, we pray that you would be comforted by the Holy Spirit. May God hold you in the palm of God's hands. For those of you who are celebrating those who slid over and occupied a space in your life to be like a mother in your world, we pray that God would surround you and enfold you as you celebrate the people who have nurtured you and created you into the people that you are today. May God's grace and peace be with you as you go out into this world celebrating the moms and those who filled that role in your life. God's grace and peace be with all of us. May we go in the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.